Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. R.A.T. right now. All right, here we are. Finally, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Tuesday, the 24th of November. No, as you were, it is the 24th of May. Where did I get that? Jeez. When Amy's gone, it seems like an eternity, I guess. Seems like it's longer than it really was. Nope, Amy's still out of town, so it's her Monday nights, or, well, her next whole week this week is going to be spotty at best, so I wouldn't look forward to Miss Amy till she gets back. I'm trying to keep things going here. My youngest has turned out to be quite the chef. We had an excellent dinner tonight. We had spaghetti squash and stuff. And I didn't really never been a real big fan of any of that kind of squash, but I've learned to be pretty partial to that spaghetti squash. I don't know if most of you's probably already eat that, but I never did until, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago. I think Amy finally talked me into trying it. And I'm a better man for it, I can tell you that. But lots of stuff going on. We're going to kind of piece through some of these here and do the best we can with what we got. Let me check the chat room here and see what all we got going on. Let me back up here just a little bit and see what's happening. All right. Kay, Catapon's in there with us tonight. Good to see you in here. Don't see you in here very often. Glad you made it. And Doc, a bunch of our regulars there. I know our numbers are a little bit down in the chat room. Podcasts are up quite a bit. But chat room's down a little bit, and I can't blame you for that because we've been so inconsistent here for the last few days while Amy's gone and somebody, you know, they get on here and don't know whether whether we're going to show up or not. So never used to be that way, but it's gotten now. We just got so many things going on that, especially this time of year, still daylight till late. Well, it's fairly dark out there right now, but it's, you know, we stay pretty busy. We got a lot going on, and it's hard to just drop everything and come in and do this when the sun's still shining. Burning daylight, as John Wayne says. Okay, it looks like our class up in Marble is going to be doing pretty good. That's the Personal Defense Handgun 3, three-day class with a night shoot. And I was informed today that we're going to raffle. We're reserving one spot to raffle one of the classes off during the expo. And that's the same thing we did last year. Last year we didn't announce it early at all. We just kind of popped it on everybody. So we're going to raffle one of them off. I think the tickets are $10 a piece or six for $50. Remember, this is almost $1,000 class that you're buying tickets on here. So, and there won't be, I'm not sure how many there's going to be, but there won't be a whole lot. So, and if you've, you can always spend $10 or $50 or whatever and get some tickets. And if you win it and you don't want to take the class or whatever, then sell it to somebody. You could probably, spend $50 and turn around and sell it for $250 or $500 and make some money on it. We don't care what you do with it. But and then we've got the Counter-Strike class there in Yakima, and we probably won't do anything any more special, any more discounts than what's already there. That class is probably going to fill up and pretty most rikki-tikki, so we're not going to have time to do anything real special with that one. You already get $50 off. You put in the coupon code when you go and check out at the online store, and you get $50 off already. So, all right. You know, this is a horrible, sad story right here. I really feel for this guy. Now, would I have done this in the same situation? Absolutely not. Most of you probably would not do this, but this guy was desperate and felt that he couldn't do anything else. He couldn't afford his wife's medicine anymore. He's 86 years old. And he just couldn't keep her going with all this stuff that's going on right now. You know, all of us are seeing this crunch, and not that I would condone this for a second. It was still wrong, but his wife of over 50 years in poor health and so much pain that he shot her in the head with a .32 revolver as she was sleeping, put the gun down, drank some coffee, and contacted the family members and told them what he'd done. She was 78 years old, and Sheriff's Department said he talked about her medical condition, said she was always in a lot of pain. He was arrested in first-degree murder charge, and said he showed a lot of remorse after the interview. You know, I knew a guy that did this in Farmington. I was a teenager, I guess. And he had kind of an odd name. I'm not going to say what it is, because there's still several people in Farmington that listen to this, and I just don't want to open up old wounds. But he went into the trailer house. People were expecting him somewhere, and she was like this woman, you know, she was dying, you know, cancer, awful health, and he couldn't take it anymore. He wound up shooting her and then shooting himself, and that was it. And this is not what I would say a rare and unusual story. I think there's, as time goes on, what with Obamacare and everything else, we may see more and more of these. This is not the first one that's happened since Obamacare went into effect here. But it must be awful to feel that kind of desperation and helplessness, not being able to do anything to a point where you have to, where you feel like you have to do something like that. Sad, sad story. I hate it. Let's see. Let me check the chat room real quick here. Yeah, Pumpkin Cat, it is. It's a damn sure a heartbreaker. There's no doubt about it. You know, this was a this is an odd story. Some of you have, I'm sure, have seen this, and a lot of you have heard of this woman, Kate Daly. Fox News Radio and The Blaze, been on for about 5 years. And she had her own show, the Kate, I'm not sure if that's Daly or Dally, but anyway, she's been doing really well. And all of a sudden, they up and out of the clear blue sky, no warning, no nothing, fired her. 3 or 4 days ago. Just dropped her like a hot potato there. Unless something's come out here in the last day or so, I don't think there's any details on any speculation even on why that might have happened. So I haven't dug into it again here anytime today, so there may be some other stuff, but as of day before yesterday, there was no indication that of why they might do this. She's pretty outspoken. She is a she's kind of like me, but prettier. A little bit prettier, anyway. Okay, that's enough of that. There's a... Let me look over here. You And Peanut Rider, that may be right. I don't know what went on, if anything, during on the Dave Hodges show, or if that's connected or not. But hopefully, in the next day or two, we'll figure out why. Doc, that's a you're absolutely right. That's a good common sense way to look at it, and how, man, I don't know if I could stand to see, you know, Amy or one of my kids or something going through something that had them in that much pain, and I'd hate to think that I would do that, but I can sit here and say there's no possible way, but you know, you haven't been through it, so I don't know. But and I hope that I never have to. that would be a bad deal. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff with radios around here. This ham and FRS, GMRS, you know, whatever we can do to get people. And finally, we're getting a few people in the community that are wanting to do this. That are willing. Very few, but we're it's picking up a little bit. And I went out to a lady's house yesterday in a pretty remote area, and I sat out there. They're completely off the grid, and I sat out there on my little 5-watt radio and reached back about it's 25 miles. Back to this one repeater, and I reached that repeater from her house with my little 5-watt Bofang radio, and talked to some guy in Tucson that was on another repeater tied into the same system. So, you know, once you learn how these radios work, and find some repeaters around there in your area, certainly. If you have a great big tall big boy antenna and a 25, 50, 75 watt radio, or 100 or 200, 500 watts, whatever you got, certainly you're going to get a lot farther without going through a repeater, obviously. But what I try to get through to people is, you know, it's nice to have all that stuff, but as long as the grid's up and the repeater system is intact, man, that little 5-watt radio if you can reach a repeater, you can go pretty much anywhere. I sat in Grants, New Mexico Friday and talked to a 2-meter radio dot. I talked to Edge the Woods on 70 centimeters through the Mount Taylor repeater. It went from Mount Taylor and then Sandia Peak and then on over to Edgewood, where he's at. So as the crow flies, that would have been it's about probably 130 miles 140 miles, something like that, which the distance doesn't really matter as long as you can reach a repeater. And in New Mexico, that Megalink system, if you reach one, you're talking to all of them. So you get on there when there's not a whole lot of traffic. And anybody that's on that, that's listening to any of those repeaters at that time, will be able to hear you. So talking 130 miles with a 5-watt radio means nothing, because all you have to do is reach the repeater. Here where we're at, I'm, 10 miles maybe? Probably 12, 15 miles. From a repeater up here on a big mountain close to me. And if I reach that, you know, I sat out there yesterday and talked to a guy in Yuma, Arizona, and Tucson. I talked to another guy in Tucson today. I talked to a guy in Phoenix today. You know, we're looking at 180, over 200 miles, 200 and, I don't know, maybe 250 down to Yuma, I don't know. But, you know, it means the distance means nothing once you reach a repeater. if the grid's up and you have a repeater within your grasp, within your range of your little 5-watt radio, you can talk just like the big kids. So don't think that you have to go spend a lot of money on ham equipment when you can literally do it with a $35 radio from Amazon. And I think that all of you should look into that a little bit. And Radio Doc, are you talking about ham or are you talking CB? I know your CB gets out there. Of course, mine does too, because I know a guy up in Farmington that worked on mine, and he is, like, awesome with that kind of stuff and did a really, really good job on mine. But it's something that so many people say. I may have mentioned this before. People say, well, you know, I've got all that stuff, and when the poop hits the fan, I'll figure it out. I'll learn how to do it. And I don't think that's the right approach. That's kind of like buying a gun and then just wrapping it up, putting it in a box, and say, well, as soon as I need it, I'll learn how to use it. When the poop hits the fan and the blue hats are coming over the horizon there, I'll get that gun out of the box and I'll learn how to use it. That's kind of what it reminds me of. So, you know, it's easy, it's cheap to get licensed, and I understand the concern, the privacy concern for getting licensing. I really do understand that. But as with everything else that we always talk about here, it is risk versus reward. Everything that you do is risk versus reward. Is it worth the risk not to do it, or what risk is involved in doing it? And that goes for everything from brushing your teeth to watering the garden to feeding the horses to whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything that you do is centered on, based on risk versus reward. For the importance of good long-distance communications and getting involved with so many like-minded people out there that do this kind of stuff, the minimal risk, they already know who I am. They already know who all of us are. And it's not hard. The license itself, yes, you can go to a website, the FCC website, and with the call sign, you can find people's names and addresses. I don't find that to be a really big setback. It's not a whole lot different than, a lot of us, most of us, are in the phone book. If you're in the phone book, we can find you on the internet. So what? Unless you're living in a cave and completely off the grid and you've changed your name and nobody knows who you are, maybe I can understand it then. But for those of us that are vocal and get out and do the things that we do, it's just not at all difficult to find somebody. Even somebody that goes by a handle that you've never heard their name, it doesn't take a whole lot of research to, put two and two together and start looking at friends and different things they talk about and everything. And it's kind of a challenge sometimes, but it's oftentimes it's just not that hard. So, if you've got a telephone, if you've got a landline and you're in the phone book, they can find you. Not a big deal. So, would I rather it not be that way? Probably. But for the ability to be able to, I have already heard today, on this very day, this afternoon about 5 o'clock, I heard three or four people that I don't even know. They're not even in my area. They're 200 and some miles away. But they were talking about how the country has gone to hell and politics and the election and all this stuff. And good night, Pumpkin Cat. And I found what appears to be like-minded individuals. And I know how to hook up with them now. I know how to, I know what their call signs are, and as long as the grid's up and the repeater's intact, I can talk to them. We can plan on meetings, establishing groups. I can do things that are more important to me than someone finding out my name because of my call sign. And I think that it's something that we should all, ponder on. Pray about it if you need to, and look at the pros and cons, and I think that the ability to do this, I set up on if you're not from Arizona, you don't know where the Kaibab Plateau is probably, but it's over north, way north of Flagstaff, actually almost right on the Utah border, I set up there. There's a repeater up there. I was real close to it, but I talked to a guy down in Heber, Arizona. That's probably, I don't know, just guessing as the crow flies, it was probably close to 200 miles. And I learned a lot from this guy while I was driving along up there on the mountain. And as long as I could reach that repeater, we talked like he was sitting in the seat with me. And I learned a lot about radios and talking on repeaters. And as a matter of fact, that was my very first contact via repeater ever. And I learned quite a bit from that guy. And since then, I've done it numerous times just in the last, 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm learning a lot, and I'm finding out where people are and finding out what mindsets are. So to me, in my way of thinking, it is way worth the potential hazard, the potential risk of having my name on the internet. So we're, like I said, most of us are already out there. It's not really a big deal. We're looking at, even at our church, we're looking at setting up not a full-time permanent deal, but we're looking at getting a rig set up where we can, during an emergency, that we can reach some of the other area churches from where we're at, the ones that we know have radios. And so we were looking at different places and talking about different types of antennas and all that kind of stuff to get out there just for that purpose. So think about it and see if you think it would benefit you, and if there's anything that we can do here to help you. There's other knowledgeable people here on Survival Circle Network that can give you a hand. And you can get into it very, 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 very inexpensively. To get into just basic handheld stuff that'll reach that will probably reach a repeater from where most of their repeaters. I mean, there are thousands of repeaters all over. There's something like 200 or 300 just in Arizona. There's not hardly any place you can go that you can't reach a repeater, even with a little handheld. So.
Was a young one. I don't remember ever going hungry. Daddy made sure we didn't do without. I went to school with some of these fellas. They had money and I was jealous. I didn't know then what I know now. Daddy'd say you can't judge a book by looking at the cover. remember it's what's inside that really matters. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine. Taught us that love was the one thing money couldn't buy. Daddy never was. Big car, thought it was real cool, cruising around the old neighborhood. I'd see Daddy after church on Sunday. Hey, you'll have to go riding with me someday. Just said no, never understood. He asked me how I bought it. I told him on credit. Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine. Taught us that love was the one thing money couldn't buy. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. It took a while, but now I'm grown. Settled down. It's my own. The more I give them, the more they want. Daddy left us last November. I don't remember him ever looking better. All laid out in his Sunday best. I'm sure instead of all that attention, all he'd have wanted was a few words mentioned. A simple man simply laid to rest. As they drove him away in that big Cadillac with a tear in my eye, I had to laugh. Cause Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine. Well, just this once, I hope Daddy enjoyed. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. No, my daddy never was the Cadillac kind.
All right. Doc, I got what you were doing. I understand that. Certainly the and it depends on the type of attack, but I know what you're getting at. If it involves even little dirty bombs around in concentrated areas, it's still going to affect a lot of people as far as electronic communications goes. So yeah, great idea. Always have. I've got four radios, two sets of different types of radios put away, along with accessories and everything that go with them, including batteries. And I realize the batteries are not going to be affected by that, but I put them in there so I'd know where they're at. So I've got them and I can put them to use, you know, get the radios fired up immediately. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And if I was rolling in the dough, I'd have a good 75 watt mobile put away in a can and all that. So as it is, I'm just going to have to settle for the handhelds that I have. But I've got some good antennas put away and stuff like that. So and you know, I talked to people. I talked to one guy. Yeah, today when I come back from getting hay, I talked to one today that was doing this the exact same thing. So there will be other people to talk to. You have to. I've told you before that communications rates right up there with food and weapons. You know, I think the top four things are going to be food and water. Which protected is one thing, kind of goes together, sustenance. Weapons, a way to protect yourself. Medical supplies and communications. And depending on what situation you're in at the time and what degree of training you've had and whatnot, depending on which one of those are the most important, but they're all going to rate really close to number one. I think it's just about a four-way tie there. So, if you have done this, when it's all over, you know, sooner or later, things are gonna slow down a little bit, and there will be people to talk to. There'll be help out there. There'll be other people, you know, maybe not in any degree of civilization that we can expect, but there will be other people to talk to. But you can't talk to them if you don't get your radios and start putting some stuff away. Practice, learn how to use them, learn what to expect, learn what their range is, and to learn how to talk on them. It's not always just as simple as picking up the mic and pushing the button. When you're dealing with, you know, potentially hundreds of, maybe even thousands of frequencies, and, you know, knowing what to do and what not to do and learn the limitations of your radio, you'll have, you get all that stuff done, you'll be able to visit with people a little bit. Somebody that may have stuff that you need, building supplies, medical supplies, food, transportation, you know, being able to, reinforcements, military, whatever. But, you know, if you don't put a radio or two away, I'd say putting one away is almost... it's better than nothing, but marginally. You should put at least two of them away. All right, this is kind of an interesting deal. We've touched on this a time or two. We've really never gotten into it too much. We talk about all the people that are anti-gun, all the celebrities and whatnot. Well, I've got a list here of celebrities that are on our side. And a couple of them in here are a little surprising to me. The there's one, Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. Yes, Kelly Clarkson. Concealed handgun permit. She likes to shoot skeet. Charles Barkley. You should know Charles Barkley. He's a black guy. And he said, I like what he says about this, because even he stereotypes a little bit here. He says, you know, we as black people always, we don't have respect for one another. You know, we've got more black men in prison than we do in college. And crime in our neighborhoods is running rampant. And I know everybody reacts with something like the Belcher thing happens, but being black, this is something you deal with all the time. And it's just sad. I'm a guy. I carry a gun. I carry a gun. Even when I lived in Philadelphia, I had a gun. I've carried a gun in my car every year of my life since I was 21 or 22. Never had to use it. Brad Pitt. Well, there's been a little update in Brad Pitt's thing. He has, I think he hasn't changed the fact that he likes guns. But I think he likes money. He is he's hosting a Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence event in California in April or May. I think it's this month. So we'll just have to leave that here and see. He's not as pro-gun as he originally let on to be, so we'll see how he does. He can't be too pro-gun. Even though, I mean, if he's going to host an event like this. So we'll just leave that one for the time being. He also built a $400,000 shooting range as a wedding gift to who? Angelina Jolie, who is an avid shooter. She, which I guess she'd have to be able to get her a very own $400,000 shooting range. But she's expressed verbally numerous times her support for the Second Amendment. In 2008, she told the Daily Mail, I bought original real guns of the type we used in Tomb Raider for security. Brad and I are not against having a gun in the house, and we do have one, and yes, I'd be able to use it if I had to. If anybody comes to my home and tries to hurt my kids, I've got no problem with shooting them. Chef Alton Brown. Now, this is one of them that surprised me a lot. Joe Perry, Aerosmith. Surprised me a lot. Couldn't hardly believe that, but he said he's always had a fascination with guns. He grew up in America, so granted, it's part of our heritage, and it was written into the laws of how this country is run. I've been fascinated with all kinds of weapons my whole life, and as I have been able to afford to acquire pieces here and there, I started to collect. Yeah, I bet he don't have any trouble affording those things. Miranda Lambert. Another nice one there. But she said she started packing heat. Now she said, I carry a weapon. I got a death threat a few years ago and really scared, but I don't want bodyguards. I am my own security. Thank you, Miranda Lambert. Johnny Depp, also been shooting since he was a kid. Said we would just go out and line up a bunch of cans and shoot rifles, handguns all the time, sometimes submachine guns. When I was a kid, it was a controlled atmosphere. We weren't shooting at humans. We were shooting at cans and bottles, mostly. I will most certainly take my kids out for target practice. Clint Eastwood, we can leave that one right there. Pretty obvious. James Earl Jones. Bruce Willis. Ice-T. That one doesn't surprise me now, because I've known it for quite a while. But when I first heard that Ice-T, you know, rapper, actor, he was on... What was he on? That was Miami. Was it Miami Vice? I think. No. I don't know. Law and Order or CSI or something. I think Law and Order. But anyway, he says the right to bear arms. The right to bear arms is because that's just the last form of defense against tyranny, not to hunt. Well, thank you, Ice-T. Never been a big rapper fan. Ted Nugent, we don't have to spend much time there. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Keanu, I don't know. K-E-A-N-U, Reeves, guy out of the Matrix. He shoots 3-gun courses and stuff. We knew about Tom Selleck. We knew about Chuck Norris. Eric Clapton surprised me. Blew me out of the saddle. But he says... I like a gun to look like a working tool, but it's a magnificent piece of art as well. He said he liquidated some of his collection in 2008. It's following the same pattern as when I collected guitars. I get obsessed, then engulfed, and finally narrow the collection down. Yeah, I've been there, done that. Gary Sinise from... He's in... He's another one that's in Law and Order or CSI or NCIS or one of those. He was also Lieutenant Dan, wasn't he? Let's see. Joe Mantegna from Criminal Minds. Adam Baldwin, no relation to the other piece of garbage Baldwins. Kevin Sorbo. Don't think I know that one. But whoever Kevin Sorbo is, he says, you can take all guns away and bad guys will still get guns. Do you honestly believe the bad guys care about any stupid law that gets passed? This is why we call them bad guys. Okay, I think he understands. Steven Seagal, we knew that one. Gunny. Lee Ermey. We were pretty aware of that. Dan Bilzerian. I wasn't aware of Dan Bilzerian until probably 2 weeks ago. May have heard the name before, but I never knew anything about him, didn't care. But two things makes him stand out here. He was in Lone Survivor, Olympus Has Fallen. So obviously I've seen some of his movies, but just didn't know his real name. Two things stands out for him. One is he has drop-dead gorgeous, surrounded by drop-dead gorgeous, scantily clad women in every video and stuff that he's involved with here. And the other thing is, I'm not convinced that he's real smart. No, Doc, I wound up selling that Mauser before I ever shot it. I was sold it to another guy that rebuilt it and made something out of it. I just didn't have the gumption to mess with it. I had too many others to worry about. But what got me about Bilzerian here, now I can't say where he was shooting. All I know is he was shooting fully automatic weapons in the air, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds. And unless he owned, several thousand acres right there and knew that it was clear, he took some drones out there and was flying drones. He had one of his hands there was flying the drones around, and he was trying to shoot them down with automatic weapons. And I am very much opposed to shooting in the air like that. You know, once in a while, you know, risk versus reward. Once in a while, around at a buzzard or something, maybe is not the end of the world. But to shoot hundreds of rounds, just spraying the horizon with a fully automatic weapon is just not my idea of being too sharp there. Let's see, where are we at? Hold on a minute. Quit holding on. I'm back. Dean Kane, Superman, S.E. Cup, who is a political commentator. Don't know anything about her. She's currently a regular on CNN, I guess. But she uses her position, I guess, at CNN to speak out in favor of gun rights and gun ownership. Here's a guy from Metallica, James Hetfield. Another one that kind of surprised me. So he said, I love my guns. I love that my dad handed them down to me, and I'm taking care of them. To me, though, some of the gun laws definitely don't make any sense. But also, the Second Amendment is very important to me. So I was quite surprised, pleased with some of those. Well, all of them, actually. Let's see. Let's do... We did that one already. Here's a good case for having a gun on you all the time. This happened just 4 days ago. Driver just happened to turn into the wrong driveway. He was just turning around. And he pulled out, drove away. Actually, the people at the house were cussing and waving and hollering, and they were already fighting and arguing in the yard anyway, apparently. So it started a big argument, and the guy drove away, tried to get away. And I guess this guy and another family member, and if I read the story right, in two separate vehicles, they caught this guy and blocked him off, and they reached in and got a hold of his wife, couldn't pull her out through the window, reached in to undo the seatbelt to pull his wife out of the car. I mean, these guys probably drunk, would be my guess. I mean, what kind of an idiot would do something like that? But Armando Macias Jr., there will be no more juniors because he is now deceased for being a moron. The guy pulled his gun and shot him in the face. So, two times, point blank, and that's the end of that. Pronounced dead at the scene, and he reached in his waistband. That's how the guys were very disciplined and very doing things just exactly as one would expect, what not expect, but one should do in a situation like that. until he reached into his waistband. They didn't know what he was pulling out. It turned out to be a screwdriver, but I'm not thinking he was going to be tightening any screws right there. So they had every right, had tried to get away. They blocked him. He had every right to use lethal force, and they did. And it's all over but the crying, as Hank Williams Jr. says. Let's see. Let me see what's going on in the chat room here before we call it quits here. Yeah, Doc, I mean, it's, you know, you can get away with 22s and whatnot. This guy was shooting 308s and numerous other pistol caliber, you know, 9mm and 40, 10mm, all kinds of stuff. Surly, even if it's low velocity pistol, shotguns, yeah, I can do it because you gotta, a couple hundred yards maybe of, if you're shooting birdshot in them, where they could be potentially a little dangerous, probably more painful than dangerous. But shooting anything with a single projectile, if you're not pretty sure of where you're shooting. Now, this guy was out in the desert, and if you can see that mile and a half or so that 22 is going to go, or that 45 or something like that, then, you know, there's exceptions to everything. But in general, shooting in the air like that is just retarded. So, well, we've managed to muddle through this. I'm not sure when Amy's going to be back. We've got some storage stuff to take care of in California, and I'm not sure exactly when or how we're going to take care of that, or if we're going to right away. So we're still up in the air with that, but she should be back. Let me look at my handy-dandy calendario here. It is, today's the 24th. With any luck, she should be back on the 30th. I am pretty sure we're going to take the 30th off, Memorial Day. I will talk to her on the phone and see. But I think you can probably, for the time being, unless you hear something differently, you can count on that being a day off. And the 31st, she should almost certainly be back by then. And we'll get back into our regular scheme. We was just getting to a point where we were trying to get used to doing our pre-records for Monday. And then she left and went on this trip with her sisters. And with everything else that I'm doing here in her absence, I didn't get my pre-record done for today, so we decided to forego that and just come on live. So there you have it. That's what we did. That's what I did. All right. Well, we'll probably talk a little bit more about radios and stuff at some point. I know some of the most common stuff is wearing out, and people don't need to keep hearing that over and over, but I would like to try to convince all of you to at least learn how to use them effectively, if not get licensed. There are benefits to being licensed. And if not that, then at least get something and practice on channels that... I could say relatively safe. There's not anything really legal to, especially not talking through repeaters and stuff. You can get yourself in a peck of trouble by doing that. So we'll just have to, or you will have to play that by ear. I can't offer you any advice on doing that on account of it's illegal. So, okay. We could spend an hour just on the legality of all the different things we do and why we should and shouldn't do it, but we won't do it tonight. So I'm going to get on out of here, and we will see you all tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me. And thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.